And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
This show is dedicated to the citizens of planet Earth of the year 4007. Whoever you are, whatever forms of government you may be living with, if government is what you use, we reach across the millennia to let you know that the citizens of planet Earth in February 2007 formally united to save the planet for you. Following is the basis for our decision. We hope you can hear us, for our intentions are good. Do you copy?
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This week in Paris, scientists from around the world presented their findings on global warming at a press conference held on behalf of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Today, we cover this historic event and some of the response it has already generated. The significance of the report entitled Climate Change 2007, The Physical Science Basis, is addressed by Achim Steiner, Executive Director of the UN Environment Program.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 2nd of February 2007 here in Paris will perhaps one day be remembered as the day where the question mark was removed behind the debate about whether climate change had anything to do with human activity on this planet. I want to pay tribute to the 2,000 and a half scientists who for the last few years and indeed in the previous assessment reports have provided an answer that politicians and others have posed time and again. Provide us with the scientific evidence. I think the IPCC, with this report, provides the scientific evidence that the world has already been recognizing for a number of years, but that even those who had doubts can no longer now ignore. The word unequivocal was the word that Dr. Solomon used. And I think this is the key message of this report. It is an unequivocal set of pieces of evidence that have been put before the world about how fossil fuel use, agriculture and land use change are fundamentally affecting the systems on our planet. I think it is critical that we look at this report not only as a milestone, but truly as a moment where the focus of attention will shift from whether climate change is linked to human activity, whether the science is sufficient, to what on earth are we going to do about it? It shifts from doubting to having to act, even if the last element of certainty is not yet there. I think anyone who would continue to risk inaction on the basis of the evidence presented here will one day in the history books be considered irresponsible. The interesting and very important message of this report is that it matters whether you are born in Europe or in Africa or in Asia or in Latin America or in North America, because climate change will affect you differently, and our societies are prepared in different ways for these changes. If you are an African child born in 2007, it is not unlikely that by the time you are 50 years old, you may in fact be faced with new diseases, you may be faced with new droughts, events in your life, you may even have to leave the areas where you live in, because some projections show that Africa may have 30% of its coastal infrastructure affected by the end of this century as a result of sea level rise. If you are a South Asian child born in 2007, it is within your lifetime that you may be faced with inundation of your lands and therefore being turned into an environmental refugee. These are just a couple of examples of how what the scientific evidence presents to us today fundamentally challenges not only the statement that the science is now unequivocal, but that we are also looking for an unequivocal commitment from policymakers, business leaders, civic society leaders to take climate change as truly the challenge of our century, because the evidence is on the table and we no longer have to debate that part of it. As I said at the beginning, the 2nd of February 2007 here in Paris will one day hopefully be known in the history books as the day where we shifted from debating the weather more towards how we move forward as an international community, as a solidarity-oriented community, that under the United Nations framework for the combating climate change will allow us to act as a global community. We cannot solve this problem in isolation from one another. Thank you.
I've read the summary and listened to the press conference. Consider this a briefing. I'll try to provide the scientific basis for the conclusions, explain briefly the rationale, and play clips from the briefing so that you may hear the voices from this historic globalizing event. When you've listened to the entire show, you will know the science and be able to understand what this is all about. So without further ado, here is the current state of the art on global warming. Global warming has divided us for decades. What is it? Is it even real? Is it just the natural phenomenon that comes and goes like the seasons? Are humans responsible? Is it true about the oceans rising, increasing hurricanes and storms? Will there be droughts and massive famine as some would have us believe? Is there anything we can do about it? Or is it too late? In the United States, the issue of global warming has been bundled into the political debate with liberals for global warming and the neocons against it, or something like that. Al Gore is being considered for an Oscar for Best Documentary and has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his movie and book, An Inconvenient Truth. While the Bush administration has kept the issue debatable, contending that there just wasn't enough good science to decide one way or the other, that is until last month when, for the first time, the president not only admitted that global warming was real, but that humans were partially to blame. Well, you'll find in the days ahead that the issue will be considered decided. And from now on, people who do not fully embrace the fact that humans are contaminating the atmosphere with too much CO2 and other greenhouse gases for the Earth's systems to accommodate, people like that will be considered on the fringe, extremists. Because in February 2007, the world's leading scientists, over 2,500 of them, following years of focused research from every corner of the globe, have presented their findings. And we'll be reviewing those conclusions throughout the rest of the show. I think it might be useful to discuss what global warming is. I'm going to start out with a very brief explanation of why adding certain gases to the air leads to global warming. It's really quite simple, and it's explained nicely in the term greenhouse gases. Everyone has at some time or other walked into a room or a greenhouse with lots of glass, and you notice immediately that it's much warmer in there than in a room without lots of windows. It's obvious. The warming radiation from the sun easily passes through the glass, strikes things in the room, which warm up, and then the glass holds a lot of the heat inside. It's the same with greenhouse gases. The sun's radiation penetrates through the atmosphere, heats up the earth and the oceans, and then the gases tend to hold in much of that heat, like a blanket. Through long periods of time, everything on the earth starts warming up, just like you do under a nice warm blanket. And the more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, the more heat is kept warming the earth. It doesn't really take all that many years of increased heat to literally heat up the earth. That's what global warming is. To understand it even better, we all know that on a sunny day, when you're feeling the heat of the sun on your skin, when a cloud passes overhead and puts you into its shadow, immediately your skin cools off. Some things in the atmosphere can lead to global cooling. A serious volcanic eruption which sends ash into the air would create a filter of sorts, keeping much of the sun from reaching the earth and therefore cooling things down. So to summarize, there are really these two competing forces which affect climate change, which can be either getting hotter or colder. These forces have been at work for all time. Unfortunately, as human civilizations most recently have entered the modern age, it's no secret that within the last 100 years or so, we've been radically increasing the amount of stuff we put into the air. Smokestacks, power plants, cars, trucks, airplanes. For a while, only a few nations had reached a stage of development where these powerful energy and transportation devices were numerous. But now, in the 21st century, as the global economy expands exponentially around the world, the amount of gases added each day is likewise exploding. Unfortunately, the most common byproducts of all of this are carbon-based gases, which have the greatest effect in keeping in the heat. So as we look out into the 21st century, the buildup of these greenhouse gases is leading to a warming Earth, otherwise referred to as global warming. One of the greatest challenges of global warming is that it is associated with changing climate patterns. And as we all know, it's hard to predict the weather. And the reason is that there are so many variables that affect whether a storm will be a light rain, or a heavy or even severe rain, or can develop into a tornado or out over the warming oceans, be whipped up into a hurricane, or a lot of hurricanes, or a Katrina, or, as the oceans and land continue to warm up in the 21st century, potentially epical storms. And as the oceans warm, ice around the world melts, glaciers will shrink, frozen tundra may not freeze, oceanic ice may not form, and the massive continental ice could begin to melt faster and faster. As well as the land heats up, food crops, plants of all sorts, forests and fields, and the myriads of insects, birds, mice, deer, rhinos, and zebras, and everything else in the balance of nature can shift. The shifting is complex and unpredictable. Humans will have to adapt to whatever these changes are. In some cases, they may be forced to change as well. Humans do not readily accept change. Some may be forced from their homes. Some may lose their ways of life. Some may lose the water that sustains them as rivers that derive from glaciers dry up, or must suffer historic floods as rains increase from increasing water vapor from the warming oceans and air. And the most difficult fact, perhaps, to accept is that many of these dynamics and changes in weather are already beginning to develop. And when it comes to changes in the Earth's dynamics of winds, seasons, rains, ocean currents, once they start to develop a new pattern, these Earth energies have a mind of their own. Many of these systems have been developed over many thousands and thousands of years and have developed their own equilibrium that we accept, for example, as our seasons. And we've come to rely on them, so too have the birds and all the wild creatures. But these new energetics are definitely being seen in new and unpredictable dynamics which have never been seen before on this Earth. And the Earth's future weather patterns, rains, winds, storms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, are all being redistributed to new places. And we're pretty much helpless to do anything but try to live with the new world ecosphere. That's part of the reason we hear so many terms for these changes. Some refer to global warming, and that's because global warming is happening. Some refer to climate change, because climates are changing. Perhaps some new terms need to be introduced as well, such as weather shifting, because all of this will be felt in changing weather. In some areas, heat and drought. In other places, extremes in cold. In other places, tornadoes that seem out of place. In some places, early springs. In others, well, we see these unusual events all the time these days. And part of the strange story of global warming, or climate change, or shifting weather, or global weirding, as I like to refer to it, is that we are just now beginning to feel the effects of a globalizing, interconnected dream of a global economy based on people making and buying and selling billions and trillions of gadgets and things, cars and SUVs, large-screen TVs, refrigerators, flying everywhere, talking around the world, fighting over the resources, deploying armies and spy planes, satellites and stealth bombers, as we arm to fight the global war on terror, as we face the uncertainty of the shifting seas of change. When we return, we're off to Paris, where we hear the presentation of the science on which we must rely to chart the adventures of this 21st century, when your Voice of the Earth continues, here on the Wild Side News.
The river's on the rise, swift and gentle like the breeze. It swallows everything but sky. It suffocates the trees. Here comes the water. struggle or give in? And does it even matter if I sink?
If I sink?
If I sink or swim?
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.